I was crying because I really feel like I had an emotional breakdown and I was bawling my eyes and I'm like, I just need help. The first thing she said is, don't let your mother see you crying.
Like, basically, be strong for her.
Right, be strong for her. And then I asked her, like, can you help? Like, I just need help. And she asked me, how can I help you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm asking. I'm not in a good place. I'm literally crying out. And hearing her response, I just remember all my tears just like got sucked up and I was like,
You realize that you couldn't rely on nobody.
yeah, I was like, okay, I got it.
If you are a first-time listener, my name is Lauren,
And I'm Natalie.
and we are a couple who are currently traveling the world.
In this episode, I talk about my journey in being a caretaker to my mother who has cancer and how I learned to establish boundaries in being there to my capacity. So I had gotten a message from a follower of mine, which is the inspiration for this podcast episode today. She had reached out to me because her father was recently diagnosed with cancer, and she was struggling, she is struggling, and she asked me specifically about how to set boundaries as a caretaker. She reached out to me because I have shared on my platform my own journey with my mother and her cancer diagnosis, and which really started my mental health or accelerated my mental health journey. She was just asking me for my advice.
And what your experience was like
Yeah.
doing that. And I was with you throughout this process, and I think that I had a unique viewpoint from outside looking in of, you were experiencing it, firsthand, but me being a third party, seeing everything and all the moving parts, that was really a tough time for you. That was really a tough time for us.
I faced parts of myself that I didn't recognize. I didn't know how to navigate through this with how I normally function.
You were not prepared to take on this role, although when you first heard the diagnosis, we were living in Maryland at the time, and I was working, you was working, we had our own life. When we got the call that she was diagnosed, I think both of us, our initial thought was like, oh, well, we're there.
Hearing a cancer diagnosis of somebody who you love, your parent, is not just like, oh yeah, all right, I'll be there. I was an emotional wreck when I first heard the confirmation. I was crying, crying, crying consistently. I was in shock. I was beside myself. I think cancer is the one thing that you don't want to ever hear somebody that you love having.
First of all, your mom was diagnosed with what type of cancer?
Multiple myeloma.
All right, so multiple myeloma cancer, if you don't know what it is, what is it?
So multiple myeloma is essentially blood cancer. It's the cancer of your bone marrow. And so your bone marrow is what creates your blood cells in your body. So if you have cancerous bone marrow, your blood cells are not being produced correctly. And so essentially her whole system was out of whack.
Yeah, immune system was super low and it could not fight off what it needed to fight off.
I remember we were talking and she was telling me she didn't sleep for 2 weeks. That's the reason why she even went to the doctor in the first place. She could not sleep for some reason. And so my mom is not a person that will go to the doctor voluntarily. The doctor prescribed me to get some blood results. If they don't call me, then I don't need to go in. That was her sentiment. But it wasn't until she was experiencing this obvious derailment from her own normal life that she was like, let me go and get this checked. And so that's when she went the next step further to get this looked at. And I just want to pull in and tag in here. Don't depend on your doctor or your primary physician to tell you that there's something wrong with you. You know yourself best. Listen to your body and be insistent on getting additional tests, period. And then I remember you asking me, what do you want to do? Without thinking about anything, like, what do you want? And without hesitation, I said, I want to be there. And so that's when we got up and we packed a bag, we packed two bags, and we moved in with my mom in Florida.
When you hear a cancer diagnosis, you're pretty much not yet well informed of what it could mean. We had to learn like what multiple myeloma was, what the treatment was. I can honestly see like it was a tough time. In my mind, I was like, okay, let's like get down to Florida. Let's see what's going on. Let's go to a doctor's office and see what does this mean. Because I don't think, did you know what multiple myeloma was?
No, other than like doing some research. One of the first things I researched was the life expectancy of multiple myeloma. And the first thing I saw was like 5 to 7 years life expectancy after, you know, diagnosis, depending on the stage that you're at. I want to kind of talk about the transition into being a caretaker and in this new lifestyle, because going from the life that you once had into a life of now chemotherapy, it's stressful. It's stressful. And especially, and I know, especially when you have doctors that are overwhelmed and overworked with patients that don't have the time to sit you down and really thoroughly explain and be truly empathetic with you on your journey. It's a lot. We had to transition our own schedules. Every appointment for at the beginning we went to. My mom is a nurse and works night shifts. So I also had to be working her 12-hour night shifts as a nurse while she was getting treatment. We would go and drop her off at night to work and then wake up the next morning early, 5 a.m. to go pick her up. Mm-hmm. We would be picking up her medications. I was her chef. I was cooking for her, making sure that she was eating adequately, making sure that literally everything while she's going through this process is as easy for her. Like, she doesn't have to think about anything, how she's going to get from A to B, what she's going to eat, nothing. She could just focus on healing.
That was actually pretty hard for you.
Yeah.
To snap yourself back into that role when you haven't been home in a very long time. You haven't taken that role before.
Yeah.
And just a little background, your mom is single. Mm-hmm. She lives alone. Mm-hmm. She is in the age group of like 50 plus. Mm-hmm. She was about 59, 60.
Yeah.
And you are the oldest of two.
Yeah.
So when you took on this role, it was kind of almost expected. When we were there, it kind of became your responsibility to take on. Actually, it became both of our responsibility to take on this role. I remember being there and I was wondering where your brother was. I was very surprised why he wasn't so reliable. Mm-hmm. And why it wasn't expected of him. And the little that he did do, he was praised to no end. How did that feel for you?
Hearing what you just said?
Yeah.
It's like putting myself back into that place and remembering just how heavy I felt having to hold the weight of being everything.
Emotional support, physical support, nutritional support, caretaker support.
Yeah.
Daughter, you took on that. And that was...
I remember calling my grandma one time. I was crying because I really feel like I had, I don't know if it was a break. It was just an emotional breakdown. And I was bawling my eyes. And I'm like, I just need help. And the first thing she said is, don't let your mother see you crying.
Like, basically be strong for her?
Right, be strong for her.
Mm.
And then I asked her, like, can you help? Like, I just need help. And she asked me, how can I help you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what can you do? And she's like, well, what do you need? And the only thing I could think of is, like, I don't know, cook something. She's like, you want me to cook? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm asking. I'm not in a good place. I'm literally crying out. And hearing her response, I just remember literally, like, I just all my tears just like got sucked up, and I was like,
You realize that you couldn't rely on nobody.
yeah, I was like, okay, like, I got it. My grandma had really no sympathy because she went through worst. You try to bring anything that you feel like is bad or hard to my
They
grandmother.
try to project their own experience onto your experience. Like,
Yeah.
I had to walk through rice fields and swim through the Atlantic
I
Ocean
had to three
and
jobs.
create a boat and, all this craziness. And they think that because they had to do it and your life is not as hard as theirs, that you should be fine. What are you complaining for? You didn't have to endure what I had to endure.
And the fact that you want to choose yourself
It's so
is
selfish. How dare
selfish.
you?
Yeah.
It's a mindset change. It's a generational mindset that it's really nobody's fault. It's just a difference in generation, and they don't really understand. Shoot, we don't understand their generation and what they have to go through. There is no empathy when it comes to generational
Pain.
and trauma. In Florida, your mom is single and she lives alone, but she's surrounded. Everybody is within 15 minutes away, 15-minute drive. And it was at least five family members who are around, and nobody supported.
I don't want to say nobody
Nope,
support.
nobody supported. Nobody.
There was one day, this was the day when we had to take her to the emergency room. There was one day I was working, and it was early in the morning, and my mom was complaining of stomach pain. She was in fetal position in a lot of pain, groaning. We took her to the emergency room because I asked her, like, what is your pain on a level of 1 to 10? She said it was a 15. I was like, we need to go. We need to go to the emergency room. And she was ready to just grit her teeth through it. I'm like, I don't know what else to do at this point. We need to go. So we get to the emergency room, and they say that they think there's a blockage in her intestines, and in order to get this blockage out, she needs a NG tube. And if you know what an NG tube, it's basically a tube that goes through your nose, down the back of your throat, inch through your esophagus, and gets into your stomach. And they put this in you while you're conscious. And I remember being in the room with my mom. You were behind me, and the doctors or the nurse was like, "You sure you want to be here for that? This?" And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I have to be strong for her because I know that this is not good. So I said, "Yeah, I'm okay." So I stood at the end of my mom's bed. She was sitting up in her bed, and I was sitting at the end holding her feet, just trying to comfort her as the nurses are just like, they're holding the tube, and they're like, "Are you ready?" Asking my mom, is she ready for this? And me and my mom, we locked eyes, and I will never forget this moment, because in that moment, I could see the fear of what she was just about to experience. I saw the little girl in her. I just saw everything, and I felt it. And I'm just like, I was scared for her. And then they tried to they put it in, and just
He put the tube through her nose and shoved it through her throat. When they did that, it didn't work.
that moment that I had to witness that struggle, the sounds, I almost collapsed. Like, my legs, my knees buckled from underneath me. If you weren't sitting behind me, I would have probably fallen to the ground. And that was the moment that I realized, and like, it was the hardest realization to know that I can't be as strong as I need to be or I want to be. I can't be the sole person. I'm not. There's things that are within my capacity that I can do, but this is not within my capacity.
Yeah, you actually had to leave the room, and I realized too that you can't do this by yourself. We couldn't do it by ourselves. I think that was the moment we kind of made an internal decision that we have to slowly start building up these boundaries and voicing out loud what we can do and what we cannot do.
I was recognizing the toll that I was having and literally the decline in my mental health. I felt so unsteady and unbalanced. I felt like internally, like I was shaking, like I had no stability.
Yeah, you were being pushed. Your world was literally crumbling in order for you to realize I need boundaries. You reached out to your brother. You said, hey, which your brother lives in Orlando. Mm-hmm. You asked him, hey, can you start taking mommy to work? Mm-hmm. Or can you start picking her up from work? Something, can we split the shifts? And your brother said no. He was very good at saying, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And because it leaned back on you, you who didn't know how to create boundaries and stick to your boundaries, that actually challenged you to create and stick to your boundaries. Your brother is very good at sticking to his boundaries. He said, no, I'm not coming. I'm not doing. And to us, when all the responsibility is on us, then of course that seems unfair. But I got to give it to him. He's very strong at his boundaries. Yes, he wasn't there. But I think with no one being there, that taught you how to create your boundaries. She expected you, the oldest, the most reliable, the most dependable. Because there's this woman expectation. It was very clear to me, and I saw it because my mom also has it, that you were expected no matter what, no matter if you was running yourself into the ground, that you were expected to be there for her. When did you start choosing yourself? Because it wasn't at the beginning.
It was like how you said, when I was like asking my mom to see if she has the strength and the ability to take herself to work.
And you actually didn't like doing that either.
Yeah.
I pushed you to do that.
Yeah, because I really felt like she shouldn't be, I really feel like she shouldn't even be working in the midst of having cancer and going to cancer treatments. I really, like, she was sick.
From my observation of your mom, she's a very, very hard worker. She's a child of an immigrant. She's the first generation immigrant family, however you want to voice or say that. Mm-hmm. But if you know anything about that type of person, they're going to grind it out. They're going to do no matter what, they're going to do it. And even if that means
sacrificing yourself
and your health. So in the summer of 2022, after being in Florida for about 6 to 8 months, we had an apartment still in Maryland that we were paying rent for. Our lease was up and we had to move out. Also during this time, your mom was scheduled to have stem cell treatment, which was an extensive process.
So leading up to the stem cell transplant, we were supporting her through her own chemo. It was like a chemo therapy treatment that was targeting the bone marrow to get the cancer down to a certain level. And once it got to a certain level, then she would be eligible to move to the next phase of her
stem cell treatment,
which which happened during the summer.
It was a lot of fear around what this stem cell treatment would be like.
It's essentially like bringing her to the brink of death because they had to kill all the bone marrow in her bones to be able to implant new stem cells to create hopefully cancer-free bone marrow cells in her body. You know, how I had said there was a moment when we took her to the emergency room, and that moment really broke me. I knew that I wasn't emotionally, mentally strong to be the support that she needs medically. Even though I did have the choice whether or not I could, you know, stay in Florida and then go to DC, I felt so guilty in making and creating a boundary for myself and saying, I know I cannot be there for the worst because that would break me. That would be way too much for me. And I was already struggling mentally. I still hold so much guilt because I chose myself. because I knew what my capacity was and I knew I could not do that. I knew that there were people in my family that were better equipped to be there for her. My brother, I was like, I'm not going to be here. I need y'all to show up and be there by her side every day for these next 3 weeks.
And when you chose that, I watched your family kind of like chastise you for that.
Yeah, my grandma was upset with me.
How could you not be there? Your mom could have almost died.
Yep.
Where were you? No one even said, oh my gosh, how strong of you to leave your life that you've built and come and be strong for your mom.
I think that, I'm probably, you know, trying to.
Yeah, you're trying to look out for other people's feelings, and you're trying to control how people view you when it's your damn podcast and it's your feelings, and you should be real with your feelings.
I do.
I don't care what people got to think about how you showed up for your mom and how you showed up for yourself. Because you know what? You endured a lot. You endured a lot, and nobody knows your story. Nobody. And you're still looking out for people's feelings, which I understand. But I ain't got to look out for not a damn person's feelings except for yours. That's my only job. You were putting a lot of stress on yourself to be everything for everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, just couldn't.
You know that moment where in Inside Out 2 when anxiety is like on the trigger, like,
ugh! Oh, yeah, when she's going around in a like a tornado.
Yeah, that's literally what I was having a panic attack. I had a panic attack in the right before a meeting at work, and I felt like I was having a heart attack, and I just everything just crashed in on me at that point. Mm-hmm. I felt mentally weak. I felt like I was losing myself.
You was running yourself ragged. You was gray in the face. You was unhealthy. You was unhappy. You was falling apart. You had to walk away from your job and nobody said thank you. Nobody uttered the word thank you. Natalie, you did so well caring for your mom. You did so well caring for yourself. And not only did you do all of that, you learned how to create boundaries for yourself. And you stuck by those boundaries. And then you left and got out when it was time to get out. So fuck whoever listening to this and don't like what I gotta say. Your absence can be
the loudest boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Your absence can be the loudest boundary, especially when there's expectations on you, especially when people want to emotionally manipulate you into guilting you to be something that you know you don't have capacity for.
And not even care how it is affecting you. And they will say, you bet not. You bet not say no. You better not stick up for yourself. Like, I don't even understand.
I still struggle with it to today. My mom still has cancer. It's at a low percent, but she still goes in regularly for her treatments.
And I'm sure she keeps all of what she's feeling to herself.
She'll tell me about how when she drives home, she's falling asleep driving at the wheel. She's falling asleep at lights. She's driving past her neighborhood because she realized she's falling asleep while she's driving. The capacity that I have is at least to be a mirror and to highlight to her, like, does this not sound wrong to you? I can't do anything. There's nothing that I can do. It's her own trauma. It's her own thing that she has to work through. I can see it clearly, but if other people are not willing or putting you know, a block into why they can't change for their own health, for their own mind, for their own safety mindset.
Right. Then what else can you do? It's out of your hands. There's nothing you can do about it.
I literally did everything that I could. I have to remember that every single time I am, you know, I'm now traveling the world. We moved to Thailand in September 2023. We're now in Colombia.
You don't want to go back to the United States.
I don't plan on going back. I don't plan on staying.
By the way, they're in your choosing yourself and you traveling and things, you don't even get support. There's an aunt and an uncle that I know of that is very supportive of you. And I love them to life.
And my dad.
And your dad. Mm-hmm. Yes. What's going on?
Nothing. And I'm actually really happy. This is like
something that I want to be able to celebrate with family and the people that I love. But sometimes I just feel like it's like
miserable people are not going to celebrate you.
I had to choose myself. Like, there was no other choice. I do want to say, I don't think I could have made it through what I went through without you by my side. I know that that period was the darkest for our relationship. And
yeah, in the midst of that, I had to leave. It's too dark here. It's too negative.
It's what caused our breakup. I really...
Partially.
I mean, just being in that environment.
It wasn't an environment for our relationship to thrive.
Yeah. And, thank you for voluntarily being by my side, seeing me, being my emotional support, being my caretaker.
Mm-hmm. I knew I was there to take care of you. Yes, you were there to take care of your mom. I was there to take care of you. I'm so glad you made it through. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're still dealing with the effect of it all. You want your family to be close. You want a relationship with your brother. You want a relationship with your mom. You rebuilt the relationship with your dad, even though your family was broken. Like, you want support.
Nobody saw me as clearly as you did. And so that's why I trust what you see. I trust the validation and the acknowledgement that I receive from you.
Because you deserve to be protected. You deserve to be seen. You are a phenomenal person, and you give your everything. You innately want to do the best that you can, and you show up and you show out. And people watching this may think that it's their responsibility to go and take care of their parents. And I'm gonna be honest, it's not. You can, but you got to make that choice, and you got to know what your capacity is.
I think you don't even know what your capacity is until you're going through it. I think that my advice for anybody who's a caretaker to a sick loved one is to lead with your capacity. Every step this whole journey is going to test you, and you are going to learn about yourself.
Be vocal about what you're able to do. Every time.
Yeah, but sometimes you're not going to know until you have been pushed to that point. And then when you have experienced that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Be vocal. Once you realize, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I feel bad. Everything in me wants to be there. But I'm not showing up in the way that I like to for myself. If you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of nobody else.
Yes. Now, I can only give advice from my position, from my experience. Thankfully, I had a remote position. Thankfully, I had emotional support and you were by my side. Thankfully, I did have other people in my surrounding that I could, you know, when I decided to use my absence as a boundary, there were people that could show up in that. I don't know what advice I could give someone who doesn't have any of what I had.
Inch yourself in. Go to a doctor's appointment every now and again. Cook a meal. I can't stress enough. Do what's in your capacity.
Yeah. Listen to yourself. Listen to your body, because your body is telling you very loud what it has the ability to withstand. And just because you can doesn't mean that you have to or you should.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.
We'll see you next episode.
Bye.